For 10 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
Making history today, right here at my house, Rosie on the House. We're going to throw the doors wide open. They've been open for an hour. Come on in, join us for a second hour. Sit down, pour yourself a cup of coffee, and hang on. For 30 years, we've come and talked to you on Saturday mornings about everything having to do with your house, home, castle, or cabin. And like I say, today's a history-making day because for the first time in 30 years, we're going to be talking about that house on wheels called an RV. And we've been asked many times, why don't you ever cover this? And, well, I'm really not an RV expert. So we kind of started scouting out around the neighborhood to see who we could bring in here and talk to. It's certainly a huge industry. We found Mr. Scott Love, the marketing manager for La Mesa RV. Scott, thank you for taking time to come in this morning.
Good morning, and thank you.
Say that one more time.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome.
You're welcome thank you for accepting the invitation. I was introduced to RVing very young. My dad and mom raised eight kids, and dad was a, God rest his soul, was a work hard, play hard kind of guy. And he always told us we're not going to have a second home. Because to him, that seemed boring. He wanted to have something that he could go see over the next horizon every time we did a family adventure. So he waited until I got my driver's license in 1972. And he went out and bought a brand new Winnebago as big as they made back then. I think it was called a Chieftain.
Probably so.
And I think it was 32 feet.
Be about that range at that time.
Yeah. And we left our home in Phoenix, Arizona for Calgary, Canada. And from Calgary, we were going to go to British Columbia. And from British Columbia, we're going to take Highway 1 to San Diego and back to Phoenix. I'm a kid that was raised on the flat marshes of southern Louisiana. The highest thing I'd ever been on was a toilet. And he puts me in the driver's seat going over Sun Road in Glacier National Park, and I've never been on a road that close to a cliff in a vehicle that size, and I've got my brothers and my sisters and my mama. I white-knuckled myself all the way up Sun Road. I'll never forget that day.
Certainly, and that's a memory you forget or you remember as a family or yourself.
I was sweating blood bullets, I'll tell you. But I can't believe how easy these things have become to drive. I can't believe, in a small way, I can't believe you don't need a commercial license to drive something with this size and this weight.
In most areas, that's correct, Rosie. It depends a little bit by state, but for the most part, up to a 40-foot motorhome, you can drive it with your standard driver's license.
And my mom will tell you to this day, the moment she got behind that Chieftain and drove it off the lot and around the parking lot just to see if she could do it, she said, well, this is easy.
Yes, it is. And it's like I've told a lot of people in my career, it's like driving a car, but it's also like a cat. Once you get the whiskers through the hole, the rest will follow.
And that would be the rearview mirror.
The
rearview
mirror or whatever's on the back.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, how long have you been in this industry? What's the story with La Mesa RV?
Well, La Mesa RV, somewhat like Rosie on the House, Scott started in 1972 in a little suburb of San Diego, California, known as La Mesa.
Okay.
So that's where the La Mesa name comes from. It was obviously during, for those of us who are too old to remember, there was a gas crisis going on at the time. It was not necessarily the best time of the for the country to start an RV dealership, but our owner decided, let's take it and go for it, and he has been very successful. So since 1972, we grew from that one location to currently we have 10 locations across the country.
Oh, and we have how many in Arizona?
There's three full-time, so we have two here in the Phoenix metro area, one in Phoenix and one in Mesa. We've got one in Tucson, and then during the early winter season in January, we are opening Quartzsite, which is that little dot on the road on I-10, just before you hit the California border.
Got the gym show and the
RV
show.
And the RV show, and you hit there, and then you go on.
Now, that's hilarious. Quartzsite is a bleak on the road, except for
a month of January.
Except for the month of January.
Correct.
How many people move into Quartzsite?
Well, I don't know exactly, but guesstimates are about 250,000 people will be there during the term of those shows.
Mercy.
So you go from about 1,200 people that are permanently residents in Quartzsite to about 250,000 for that month.
And y'all have how big a facility out there?
In Quartzsite, we have...
Is that a service facility?
No, it's just a sales facility. So we have 7 acres out there, and it's only open on the season. So it's really just 6 weeks.
Somebody was thinking outside the box there.
It's real outside the box on what in the world is all these people doing and coming to Quartzsite. And it's really kind of a trend that people look for in the industry to come there for a while and then transfer it somewhere else, whether that's to the Tucson Gym Show or somewhere else in Arizona or California. Or into Mexico.
I didn't raise Romy in a RV. He was raised in a tent. Jennifer and I have rented RVs on a couple occasions.
Certainly.
But boy, since I've written my last of 48 college tuition checks last August, this is floating very close up to the top of my bucket list.
Something to look forward to.
Yes. No, I need something big enough. I've done some minority shopping, just very passive shopping. I need something that I can pull my horses with. So I'm going to have 8,000 to 12,000 pounds behind me. That seems to be a limiting factor on products that are available.
It is in this day and age. There used to be more product out there that would probably handle it. There are certain products today that are out there. So you have to be careful, and certainly that's what we do as far as a company. We always try to make sure that we're steering you to the right product for what you're going to be using it for.
Do most people graduate to the full size, or do you find a lot of people just plunging straight into that 40-footer?
No, I don't think you will find the rare people that go straight for a 40-foot diesel pusher, but that's not the case. I look at it more as an evolution in your life cycle. So you know, if you started out in the tent, you may start on a tent, and that's great for being on a picnic table in a park somewhere.
Yes,
but at some
yes.
point, those rocks are starting to poke your back and go,
yes.
I'm too old for this. And you look for something that you can progress into something that's a little nicer. Maybe it's a pickup camper on a pickup bed or a pullable pop-up trailer.
Yes.
As the kids get bigger and they aren't willing to share that bed anymore, maybe you need something where they can spread out and have more room. And then eventually when they and you're writing the tuition checks to college and you still want to go visit them, maybe you don't need all that space, but you still want to have something nice. So maybe you're going to upgrade to, okay, this is now for you and Jennifer. And then at some point in your life, you may say, you know, we still want to get around, but that's too big for us. We still want to be on our own. We still want to have the flexibility to go when we want and where and have our home on wheels. But now maybe you're going to downsize a bit to something that's a little more manageable and handleable for what your situation is at that time.
Well, RVing is definitely do you call it a sport? Do you call it a hobby? What do you call it?
I don't know what it is.
A lifestyle?
It's a lifestyle. Truly, we say it is a lifestyle because there are people who use it constantly. We would call those full-time people. So they have sold their house. They maybe have nothing but a mail forwarding address and an email and a Facebook account to be able to remain in contact with their family and possibly business interests, to people who use it maybe just on a weekend. And everybody has a different reason and a different story and a different way of using an RV.
Yeah, I would get the P.O. box, catch me if you can.
That's correct.
Oh, man. Well, it is an intriguing lifestyle for sure. And It took the infrastructure of America to kind of make RVing possible.
It's really kind of an American pastime that not a lot of countries have. Yes, it is over in Europe, but if you look at it back in the 30s, really when we started paving roads in the country and giving the people the opportunity to get up and travel or see and experience the country, or maybe they're out looking for a new job or moving from the Midwest out to the West Coast, certainly those paved roads gave people the opportunity to drive vehicles. And there weren't a whole lot of hotels and inns and different things at that time, so as they pulled over to stop for the night, they needed a place to stay. And some enterprising people decided to find out a way of calling small campers or something, or taking a way to convert their Model A or their Model T to a place that they could sleep. So if you look back in that history, that was really called the tin can camper series. And it has evolved. So as the economy came back to life after World War II, you started seeing companies having a lot of ideas. Maybe somebody started a company by just building a product in their garage and said, oh, this would be fun if we took this as a family and went camping or went fishing or went hunting with it. Somebody in the campground or on the lake saw that person say, hey, that's pretty neat. How do I get one of those? He says, well, I built it myself. And it gives that person an idea of what they could start doing as far as a business. So a lot of RV companies did get started that way,
sure.
Where it was a couple people maybe got together or a family decided to build something,
sure.
That was totally for their use. Other people saw it, they liked it, and things have somewhat evolved from there.
And that Tin Cup Society, that was really the name of like the first RV club in America, and it was because your dinner was ever in a tin can that you would just set on the radiator when
Correct.
You parked, and it would warm up, and that was dinner.
Correct.
Well, the kitchens in these units have sure come a long way from that.
Well, some of them are full-size chef kitchens, and some of them are much more compact, depending, again, on the size of the RV and what you intend to do with it. So, you know, the industry really pays attention to a lot of the current building trends and design trends, colors and certain things that you would find in new home building today, and you'll find a lot of that same trend in new RVs.
You know, it blew my mind the day we met you out on site and just kind of took a look at all the things that were available. It was absolutely incredible. We're here with Mr. Steve Love, the marketing manager for La Mesa RV. We're talking about your home, but this hour we're talking about your home on wheels. We'll be right back.
And sometimes you need a vehicle to tow behind RV. You know, you could. I don't see you in your RV towing your Raptor behind it. You might have to go get like a Focus or a Fiesta or something to zip around when you find that destination you want to stay at for a couple weeks, and you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to go down to the grocery store in your 42-foot RV.
That's correct.
Unhook your little Sanderson Ford Fiesta and zzz.
Absolutely. Did you see where Sanderson Ford was sponsoring the Vietnam Memorial,
yes.
Mobile wall.
Dave Kimberly spoke there
out
Friday.
At State Farm Stadium. It's moving. There this weekend. Folks, it's a three-quarter version of the actual monument from Washington, D.C. It's on display at State Farm Stadium, brought to you by Hospice of the Valley and Sanderson Ford. Get out there. It's there through about 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. It's this weekend. You're going to love it. Just one more way Sanderson Ford finds to continue giving back to the community. It's absolutely awesome. And no, I think I might just tow my Raptor. I don't know that I could ever get into the Fiestas or the Focus as great a car as they are.
A Mustang?
Oh, yeah. When I went to Sanderson Ford, I was going to buy a Mustang. And old Jason says, well, before you leave the lot on a Mustang, let me let you try this Raptor. And we rode it up, and I drove home, and I've been happy ever since. If you're buying cars, buy at Sanderson.